For years and years and years, the dog has been man's best friend, but now chickens are edging their way into that spot because chickens are pretty awesome.
So awesome, in fact, that they have their own Chicken of the Month Club, and let's see if dogs can do that. This is where you can give 2 chickens to a family in need by only giving $28 a month.
If somebody were to give me 2 chickens and go, here you go, here are 2 chickens, do something with them, I would have no idea. I would probably name them. I would dress them up in sweaters.
None of that.
Yeah, but none of that does any good, but... In developing countries, people know what to do with chickens. Chickens provide a ton of eggs, which can provide income for a family that is struggling to break the cycle of poverty. They also provide nutrition for families. Don't tell the chickens that part. But they also can sell the chicks in the marketplace. It's a great source of income. We all talk about side hustles. This is a way you can invest in a family to help them break the cycle of poverty for just $28 a month.
And it's by giving a chicken. So text the word chicken to 91979. That's chicken to 91979.
And all of this is made possible through our friends at Food for the Hungry. They do so much great work for the underserved and underprivileged, and you can be a part of that today. We'd love to have you get involved. Again, text chicken to 91979. Welcome to the Wallace Show Aftercast, those things we did not get to during the course of the show today. If you've already listened to the regular podcast, then you probably heard me doing a news story saying, if you want to hear the rest of this, join the potty nation there and become a potty, because I cannot discuss this at full length here on the show.
We almost wish you wouldn't hear.
Oh, no, no, no. No, that's not true. That's not true at all. Don't say that, because people are like, I love it when you rant and you talk about things. So I have anecdotal evidence. This has to do with the Olympics, okay? So you might have seen Michaela Schifrin, and she is an amazing downhill skier for the U.S., and she's had a bad start. She fell once, and then she missed a gate, which disqualified her. So 2 of her events she's been disqualified from, and it got to her. So she was sitting on the side of the slope there, the snow, just kind of in disbelief, and she was crying, you know? Mm-hmm. And they had interviewed her, NBC had interviewed her the day before about, you know, falling and losing that medal, and she was tearful in that and stuff like that. So, I mean, she's having a rough Olympics. So NBC's cameras kind of focused on her for a little while she was sitting there with her head bowed, and the network aired the raw interview where she fought off the tears. And so now people are saying that NBC was wrong to do that. Like, they're saying that NBC has victimized her. Like, it's crazy. People on idiots on Twitter saying they're torturing her. They're shaming Schifrin. No one is shaming her. They're taking a moment in time that happened in sports. In sports, guess what, people? You got winners and you got losers. Now, you don't want to teach your kids that you're only valued if you're a winner, but you can also show and you can learn from defeat. You can learn to practice harder. You can learn to be better. You can learn that maybe that's just part of life. You did everything right and you still lost. And it's okay. It's okay to show her disappointment. That's the thing, man. Like, back in the day, ABC Wide World of Sports used to have a thing, this guy just getting wrecked off of a ski jump. And it was always like the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Mm-hmm. She is a professional athlete. She is experiencing the agony of defeat. And one of the other things was so crazy on Twitter. One critic wrote, they've claimed another victim. She's not a victim. For the love of all that's holy, save the victim talk for actual victims in this world. People that have actually been abused, suffering, hurt, pain, like that. Save that. Do them that honor.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah, please.
Because I know, I agree with you that people who get mad for other people when
right.
those people may not even be angry to begin with, that gets on my nerves.
Sure.
But let's say, for instance, that was Haley, your daughter.
Yeah.
She had worked all her life to do
Absolutely.
This. And then she fails miserably.
Yes.
And the cameras just focus on her and talk about how she's crying. Would you be offended by that?
Not at all. I would hurt for her. But I also know you chose this life. This is the life you chose. Mm-hmm. If you don't want that pressure, go teach ski school to kids on a bunny slope. You won't have any pressure.
Well, I mean, sports in general is an industry where you actually sign contracts that say you like need to spend, you know, X amount of time with people in the media.
Right.
And also it's a life that you're just going to be on camera. Like, your life is on camera by default.
I don't watch a lot of sports, but I know, Gavin, you do. Not Wally so much either. But do they, when a guy fails miserably, let's say he goes for the 3-point shot or whatever and he misses, does the camera focus on that guy? And like, does they I guess.
Yeah, they play it over and over and over again.
So like in some cases, if somebody, if they miss the shot, you see like the team celebrating. But you do have cameras that veer over to guys. I've seen plenty of dudes crying on TV after losing just like the simplest games, but on like the nationals or on like a championship level skill, you definitely see footage of guys crying.
Well, and I wonder if because of the whole thing that came out about the Olympic gymnastics, the American
Simone Biles.
The American gymnastics thing where there was the Me Too movement going
with Larry
on.
Nassar.
So I wonder if now people are more
sensitive
to women's sports, and
see,
how
that's
they're
doing women a disservice.
Oh yeah,
like,
I agree.
Like that is the most sexist thing you could do, is to not show her doing like hurting after a loss. You know, like that you're not making, they're not making fun of her. They're not making comments. They're hurting along with her. They're like, that's a good chance for the USA to do well. And it's like, oh my gosh, no one was like, she didn't train hard enough. She's a horrible athlete. People were like, man, that was rough.
I think it would be interesting just to know, was she offended that they did that?
Yeah, because if she's not,
then they don't have any right to. And also, if you pay attention to what everyone says on Twitter, you're never going to be happy. Because on Twitter, everyone airs out their opinions on everything.
And they're not experts.
Here's what I say. Like, so the whole Simone Biles thing, I don't think it's helping women. Like in sports, honestly, like I don't think it's helping the situation where they're like, you know, she was so brave to not compete and to, you know, to protect her mental health and things like that. And then you've got this other lady that falls and she's crying. She's upset. And they're like, okay, we can't do that. We need to coddle you. We cannot show you being upset because what about your mental health? Oh, my goodness. Like that's treating a woman like she's inferior. That's treating her like she's weak, like she can't cope. And that might not be the case. She had a moment where she was sad. Yeah, that's fine. Like, and that's okay. Like, but to then all of a sudden go, we've got to treat them totally different. That's the opposite of what you want. You want everyone, athletes, treated the same, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that there was a danger in some of the Simone Biles stuff now that you're starting to see the repercussions of that. Like, if we get to a world where the Olympics or everybody gets a trophy, like, why do we have gold medal and gold, silver, and bronze anymore? Why do we even keep score? You know, it's like, well, just, like, everyone tried hard. You know what? Kids, we want to make sure that everyone had fun today. Did you guys have fun today? You had fun today? Here's your gold medal. Everyone gets one. It's fine. That's the whole point of sports, is there is competition. There's competition in this life. And if it's handled right, it's healthy. Yeah.
Well, I also think that the way that the hierarchy of like getting older and getting into sports is effective, because when you are 7 or 8 years old and you're playing soccer and your team loses, but you guys still get a trophy. Like, that's an age when I think it's fine to be like, well done, you tried.
It should be smaller.
So let's say 5 or 6.
No, I'm saying the trophy should be smaller.
You should have, and I remember receiving those types of trophies. I remember receiving the third, fourth place trophies and the first place trophies. But then when you do get older, you do find avenues to get into more competitive soccer. When I got into like high school soccer and travel soccer, then you have no-nonsense coaches, you have no-nonsense opponents, and you do have no reward for losing other than just going home and trying to work harder for the next one. And I think that that's a good system for age. Right. I do think that you're right, that you don't want to get to that point where you are. I do think that there's value in crediting people for what they do, even if they aren't winners. That's still something that's really valuable. But I do think that people getting rewarded for losing, and like just for losing, is not valuable.
The best lesson when you lose is, what did I learn from this? How can I do it better? You know, like that's your reward, is how can I be better? You know, because that, again, that's competition is in business. Competition is in sports. Competition is in life, you know, and so it's to coddle people and pretend, or to eliminate all competition, does not help them in any way, shape, or form. balancing things out when they're young and health, being healthy about, look, we are going to try to win. Like, that's what we want to do. We want to win. It's fun. That's why we play games, you know, because you want to, you play games with your friends. What do? You want to win. You know, we play games on the show. You want to win. And if there's no peril, you know, then it's not fun anymore. And so in teaching them that, yes, you want to win, but you have to do the groundwork early with kids of like, look, your identity is not this, though. Like with my daughter, like I was like, hey, look, whether you win, lose, or draw, whether you do great, not do great, I love you regardless. You know, if you're doing this and you're having fun, awesome. But if you weren't the best at it, I'm not going to sit there and tell you, oh, you're great. You're the best player they have. You know, I'm not going to lie to you if that's not true. It's like, hey, if you want to be that person that you look at on the team and you think, man, they're the best, if you want to be that, let's go work on it. And if you get there, great. And if you don't, it doesn't matter. I still love you.
I have a feeling that a lot of this language is not a thing in Russia based on the story that we were talking about earlier where they're, you know, giving medication to a 15-year-old.
Oh, my gosh.
That seems like a society where winning and losing is life and death for a lot of those kids.
That's the unhealthy part of sports. Absolutely.
We may be a little soft. They're a little hard, too hard.
Like I've always said, life is balance. And the extremes of either is where you get into really dark areas, you know. And yeah, like doping this 15-year-old girl with heart medicine to make her heart perform better so that she could win a stupid medal is insanity. Like the people that do that, like that's where you go, well, we're sorry about this, but you are completely banned from competing. Go have your competitions inside of your own country. That's fine. Go knock yourselves out. You're not going to compete on the world stage, you know, if you cannot, you know, handle yourself accordingly.
They bring down the overall product when that happens.
I mean, it's sad that you even have to have doping committees and you have, like people are always cheating to get that edge. But it happens in NASCAR, too. And NASCAR, even though everything's supposed to be regulated, they're always trying to cheat just a little bit more to get that split bit of edge.
It is like Formula One, where they're just like, oh, did you make your car? Just like the winning car from last year, you can't do that.
Yeah, it's competition. Again, yeah, competition can be bad. But anyway, I just thought that that was fascinating that they thought that NBC for covering and not even commentating negatively, just for showing this was offensive.
Well, NBC had a comeback to the whole situation.
Oh, they fought back, yeah.
Yeah, they said there's no script when there's a wipeout on the slopes or a fall in figure skating. We're watching real people with real emotions in real time. We did everything we were supposed to do.
Yeah, I love that they didn't cower.
Good stuff.
Because that's what happens. So much of the time we get a couple knuckleheads on Twitter and then companies go, oh my gosh, we might have offended somebody. Oh, what are we going to do? And it's like, well, wait for 3 days and it's going to be gone. Like our company did that for years. I had bosses that would freak out and be like, we've got a problem. This is bad. Like the thing you said, I'm like, okay, first of all, how many complaints did we get? Okay, well, we haven't gotten any yet. Wait, are you kidding me? Well, not any yet from outside. Okay, well, who complained inside? Okay, one person. No, why are you wasting my time with this? Anyway.
It actually wasn't that crazy of a rant. That was probably the most scary thing you've said. Not scary, but just the most passionate thing you said.
Well, because that stuff affected me personally. You know, like people all the time, like, we've got to do something. We got to get out ahead of this. And I always tell them, I'm like, man, give something 3 days. The next thing's going to come up and it's going to take people's minds over there and it's gone, you know. But when you fight it and you defend it or you go nuts about it, then you fuel it, you know, you keep it going, you know. So what are you just laughing at, Rock?
Oh, nothing. I'm just thinking about how this could be you. I need to use this for you. When you get amped up about one negative comment, and you forget all the positive things that came from it, and then you're like, we got to prepare ourselves now. I'm going to burn the bridge before they can burn it for me. I should say, you know what? Let's give it 3 days.
And then if it's a problem,
and we'll see where it is at then.
My experience is the things that grow legs are always the dumb, innocuous things that have no point in even being discussed. But the person gets to the wrong ear and then it becomes an issue for me because then they're busting my chops and then it's running up the chain and you're like, what just happened here?
Yeah, but sometimes it doesn't even get that far, but you've prepared it in
your
head.
Oh, for sure. In my head, I'm ready to go. I'm ready for any event that could happen.
With a match in hand. Yeah,
burn it down and then walk out. Watch the explosion happen as you
walk out.
Yeah, like a action movie.
Liam Neeson style.
Oh, man. All right, Lady Rock, what do you got?
Well, the authorities have now determined the official cause of Bob Saget's death, and it turns out that it was head trauma. So they said, the family issued a statement. They said the authorities have concluded that he accidentally hit the back of his head on something, thought nothing of it, and went to sleep. No drugs or alcohol were involved.
I first thought, and I'm like, that just doesn't sound plausible. Like, it sounds like an excuse, a cover-up. How do you hit your head so hard that you don't really remember it? But then I guess he didn't talk about it with anybody, and then he died. But Betty Rock, you said you know somebody that's happened to.
Yeah, I went to high school with a girl that she passed away at, I think, 21.
Wow.
Because she was in a serious car accident, but she was able to walk away from it. And the ambulance, they were like, do you need to go to the hospital? And on the outside, She was fine.
Yeah.
And she said, no, I'm good. And who can blame her? Because you don't want to pay those medical bills.
Right.
But then she goes home and goes to her apartment. She lived by herself. And then her family couldn't get a hold of her. And come to find out, she was bleeding internally.
Crazy.
And didn't know it.
Yeah.
So all that to say, that's something that could have happened with him. And knowing him, he may have been like, I don't want to make a big deal out of
it. Right, I wouldn't either.
Nothing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Ruin
and
the
then
tour
you,
or something.
You go to sleep to try and just sleep it off.
Yeah.
And then you never wake up.
That is fascinating. I now, like, knowing that, then, like, because he's always videotaped and things like that, you're wondering, or now that people know that, does somebody that was at the show that night go, oh, yeah, he fell and he hit his head. I do remember that. Mm-hmm. But he got up and he was fine. Like, I'm real curious.
Well, yeah, and you think about all the times you have bumped your head and nothing serious came of it, but maybe if you hit it in just the right area.
The back of your head is super sensitive. That was my biggest fear with Haley when she was little, was falling backwards, because babies do that all the time and just crack their heads. Oh, I was in Africa and I heard the worst baby head hit the ground I've ever heard in my life. And we all and spoke different languages and everyone went, like, it was that bad. And like, and then, you know, when a kid's really hurt, when it's like, bam, and one of two things, it's instant scream or there's that pause.
Oh, the delay.
And then it goes.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, man.
Have you ever had that where you hurt yourself? Like, I've like hit my toe against something and there's like that split second of like the pain is about to hit.
Yep.
But it takes a
wait
minute.
Wait for it.
Yeah. And you're like, and
there
oh
it is. I the other day I was cutting something with a box cutter. And I knew I was cutting it wrong, and I was trying to cut it quickly.
You should never be left alone with a box cutter.
I know. And
quickly
so,
and a knife don't belong in the same sentence.
So sure enough, it slips out of the thing and hits my knuckle.
Ow.
And I instantly grab my knuckle and put it behind my back. Because I'm like, oh my gosh, maybe if I can't see it.
It's not real.
It's going to be okay. If I can't see it, it's going to be okay. And then I'm waiting for to feel like blood on my knuckles and stuff.
Oh.
And so then I bring it. I bravely bring it back in front,
yes,
where I can see it, and I kind of peel my thumb off of it to see how bad it is, and I go, oh.
Wasn't that bad?
I nicked it. Nicked it. It bled like so little, but it was such a sharp blade that I thought, okay, I've gone to the bone.
You were prepared for the
I was, and I literally just nicked it. Like, look, it was this finger. You can't even see it now, like 4 days later.
my grandpa lost like the front of the the top half of his thumb from something. Like, it was a circular saw. Bigger blade, per se.
But still, my dad lost the end of his finger, too.
He
like
said
that.
He went to the hospital on his own and was just, like, waiting in the ER, like, man, this thumb really hurts.
Yeah. My dad was such a man about that. Like, when he lost his, he was like, okay, son, we got to pull the dredge out of the way, make sure no one gets hurt. And then he's like, the finger's gone. Can't do anything about that. So we'll just, let's get this done and then take me to the hospital. Like, what in the world?
That's a man.
Who are you? I know.
You know, this reminds me of a great story I'd like to share with everyone in case you missed it. I went to, it was a nonprofit that was hosting Wally and I for a work thing. And part of it was getting a hammer and you're nailing
setting concrete pavers.
Okay, so you had a mallet, a hammer, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, Within the first 5 minutes that we're there, Wally takes the hammer and just goes, whack!
Okay.
Straight on his thumb. To the point.
A kid knocked me, though. No, there was a dumb kid there that bumped me as I was hitting a hammer, and I hit my thumb.
It gets worse. So then he's got his thumb ring.
That's right.
That now his thumb is swelling, and he's worried that it's going to cut off the blood circulation.
Yeah.
So he is down on the ground. Down for the count.
It hurt bad.
I wonder what your dad would say.
Oh, so disappointed. So disappointed. Yeah, but I did end up losing that thumbnail, though. Like, it was a bad shot. So, I mean, I got it that bad. Lost my whole thumbnail. Yeah, it grew back.
And then he always wanted to show it to us when it finally
fell
off.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes.
He saved it.
I think I left it in your desk at one point.
Oh.
He wanted to.
It was really bad for all of us.
Yeah, it was really gross. Hey, speaking of gross, you got some birthdays? Those two aren't really combined. But
We don't.
Oh.
But we do have a question.
All right, go.
This is from Chelsea.
Hey,
and
Chelsea.
It's a bit serious.
Oh, good.
It's easy to see the obstacles in life, mm-hmm. but what do you do to combat being overwhelmed?
Mm.
Can I start?
Yeah, please do, because I think and I don't mean this in a bad way. I think you get more overwhelmed than, say, I do. But I do believe that.
Gavin, what do you think?
About being overwhelmed and combating it? Or about you being...
Maybe. Do I get overwhelmed easier than Wally, or does Wally get more overwhelmed than me?
I think that you handle your overwhelm...
Mine isn't overwhelmed. Mine is frustrated. Like, it dumb things that don't work.
But it can come from feeling overwhelmed.
I always picture overwhelmed as you've got this litany of things you've got to get done, and you can't get them all done, and you just, like, kind of shut down or whatever.
But
like,
yours
that's
is more
my
on, like, an emotional scale, right?
Like, yeah. Like, when I feel overwhelmed, I get really stressed, and mm-hmm. I just get quiet.
Yeah.
Mm. Whereas when you get overwhelmed, you get loud.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I definitely do get overwhelmed like when I get too many things going and I don't feel like I can accomplish them.
You're more easily angered.
Oh, I get agitated.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I get
like
agitated.
Any of us would.
Yeah, agitated.
Okay,
yeah.
Back to the question by Chelsea. So how do you combat being overwhelmed? A big thing is giving gratitude. So being thankful for the things that you have. So let's say if you're saying I'm feeling overwhelmed and it's giving me anxiety, I know all about that. The biggest thing I can say is, and I know Wally has said this before, is focus on one thing that you're thankful for. And maybe that's all you can do in the day,
mm-hmm.
but focus on being thankful for the things that you do have, no matter how small they might be.
Yeah, because sometimes it's just that little thing that... It refocuses you, and it can be the dumbest thing to be thankful for, but it pulls you out of that negative headspace, for sure.
Also, a physical thing you can do is keep a list.
Mm.
Keeping a list has made a huge impact. I know, Wally, you've done this, too, with the Post-it on your on your computer. I keep an actual physical, like, calendar planner book with me, because if it's not on the list... I'm not going to remember it. And so if I can see a list of all the things I need to do, it might make me feel overwhelmed, but I can check off some things and that helps.
I feel so good at the end of the day when I've gotten all of my things on that to-do list deleted. Oh my gosh, it's the best. And I'll get, and I do get overwhelmed with my list sometimes. And mine is more too, like, I know there are things I can get done, but can I do them great? Like, I can knock something out. Like for example, preparing for an interview. So I could prepare for an interview in 15 or 20 minutes, but it's not going to be that great.
Mm-hmm.
I'll spend 2 hours preparing for an interview, and so that time is then eating into all of my other to-do lists.
Mm-hmm.
But when I finish it, I can sign my name on that. Like, I'm happy with that,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so that's where my stress comes in, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Gavin?
Oh, man. I think that... Because I honestly don't.
You cry a little, right?
No.
He does go to the bathroom a lot. I think he goes to either cry or he does have a really small bladder.
It's that.
He's decompressed.
It's always the second one. It's always that one.
When you walk by the men's room, you just hear, what is going on?
No, sometimes if it's overwhelmed, because again, I don't ever get overwhelmed emotionally per se, but that's just, you know, a product of, like, having a very chill life and just having a lot of things go right. Like, just haven't had a lot of things that have like come at me per se, but when it's task related, it's basically like see one thing, get one thing done, and then get to the next thing. Like, don't be sitting somewhere trying to get one thing done while you're also thinking about the six other things and trying to maybe, you know, nitpick at those things while you're doing one. Like, just get one thing done. Like, you can kind of, like you said, like get that one thing done and do it well versus doing eight things poorly.
And break it down into small little steps.
My problem is I will squirrel things. So like I'm preparing for an interview, I'm doing this, and then I'll hear my email go off.
Yeah.
And so if I'm not, if I'm still trying
ADD.
To formulate, so if I'm still trying to formulate a question, I don't fully have it, I'll be like, oh, let me check that email.
Yeah.
And so then that email leads me to see eight that need to be addressed. So I'm going to do them now.
Then your phone goes off with a text message.
And then you come back to the thing and you got to regroup. Like, I wish I could just truly stay on one thing till it was done.
If you set your phone on do not disturb, you could.
Maybe. But my email's on my laptop where I work. And so
there's a setting for that too.
Is there? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then I also, sometimes I just check it.
Like, I'm like, what's going on? Check it.
Like, what happens is if I'm kind of feeling stuck, like writer's block, what happens is I'll look at something else I can accomplish, and then like, so then I feel like I'm still moving forward, and then I'll come back to the thing that I was stumped on.
It's also funny how you can be distracted by so much, but your bladder is not one of those.
No, it's the craziest thing.
Like, you will
wish.
Hold
I know.
Your
It happens
bladder.
To me all the time. Happens to me all the time. Like, I'll tell them, oh my gosh, I gotta use the restroom. And then we'll get into
2 hours later.
Yeah, we'll get into these long series of calls or interviews that I didn't get to go beforehand or whatever. I'm like, oh my gosh, I still haven't gone. Yesterday, oh my gosh, we had people in yesterday and we had all these meetings. And I'm like, okay, I have to use the restroom before we go to this meeting. I know it's gonna be a long meeting and I have to tinkle. And so, of course, the men's room is in use. I'm like, ah! So I go upstairs. Go figure. It's in use. I'm like, what in the world?
I bet one of them was in use by Gavin.
Probably. And so I'm like, what in the world? So I get through. I get through the whole meeting, and I'm like, okay, that was good. I go back to the upstairs restroom, in use. I'm like, go! I come downstairs, in use. I'm like, what in the world is wrong with you?
And you're not
people?
A sit there and wait kind of guy.
No, no. And so then, like, every time I would keep going back, like the whole time someone would use it, I just went home.
You need
I
a finally st- just you went need home. A, you need a sticker that says like Wally has dibs.
Yeah.
On the next thing.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, we need a number system.
A schedule.
Yeah.
I'm number four. Don't get in front of me.
All right. I think that's going to do it for your aftercast.
And as always, thanks for being a potty.